With that, Lexi, please call the roll.
Chair Rodriguez.
Here.
Democratic Ranking Member Chambliss.
Here.
Representatives Borrero.
Here.
Fabricio.
Here.
Fetterhoff. Fisher, excused. Hinson.
Here.
Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
McClure. Here. McCurdy.
Here.
Rayner.
Here.
Rizzo.
Here.
Roth.
Here.
Sabatini.
Here.
Schoaf.
Here.
Skidmore. Smith.
Here.
Zika.
Present.
We have quorum, Chair.
Thank you, Lexi. Guys, remember, all cell phones and other communication devices, including laptops, must be turned off and or placed on silent mode during the committee meeting. Welcome, guys, to the Government Operations Subcommittee. And Chair Fisher is excused for today, as Lexi stated, so you're all stuck with me for the day. That said, oh, Stan is here. Representative McLean, you... Oh, yeah, sure. My vice chair is Lawrence McClure for the day. Good friend, brother, colleague. Thank you for being here. That being said, HB 337, Administrative Procedures by Rep. McLean. Representative, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Acting Chairman Rodriguez and Acting Vice Chairman McClure and members of the committee. Congratulations. Mr. Chairman, last night, kind of late, we did a strike all for this. Do you want me to go to the bill or to the strike all? Or may I?
Go straight to the strike all.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will start by saying that this bill will increase transparency and agency accountability in rulemaking. The bill requires agencies to review their current rules for consistency with statutory authority and to repromulgate or readopt those rules based on specified timeframes. The bill requires each agency to make their estimated economic impact statement available online for public viewing. The reason for the strike all members is we needed to clarify some language. When we did that, the language is scattered throughout, was scattered throughout the original bill. And what we had to do was clarify some language. We clarified the timeline for an agency to repromulgate its rules. All rules adopted or repromulgated on or after July 1st, 2022 must be reviewed within 5 years after adoption or repromulgation, and all existing agency rules must be reviewed by July 1st, 2027. Specifies that each agency's annual regulatory plan include a 5-year schedule for rule review and repromulgation, and requires the plan to include a list of duplicative, redundant, or unused rulemaking authority. Removes the requirement that persons responsible for a proposed rule or a statement of estimated regulatory costs be personally available at a workshop. Makes material incorporated by reference, like agency forms and documents, more easily accessible to the public, and it requires a notice of correction within certain information when certain information is omitted or incorrect in a rulemaking notice. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. And for the record, this is Amendment Barcode 197649. Members, questions on the strike all amendment? Questions on the strike all amendment? Seeing none, we are in public testimony. Do we have public testimony? Seeing none, we are now in debate. Members, debate on the bill as amended.
No debate.
Debate on the amendment. Seeing none, you're welcome to close on the amendment.
I'll wave close.
Wait, hold that. There's public testimony?
Yeah.
Okay, we found public testimony.
Okay.
Public testimony? Okay, no. Okay, so there is no public testimony on the amendment. You are clear to close on the amendment, Representative.
I'll still wave my close.
Thank you for that. If you are in favor of adoption, the amendment, signify by saying yeah. Opposed, no. All in favor? Yay. The amendment passes. We are back on the bill as amended. Public testimony. There is public testimony on the bill as amended. Philip Suderman, Americans for Prosperity. Thank you for that. And we have Christian Camara, Institute for Justice, waves in support. Debate on the bill as amended. Members, debate on the bill. Hearing none, you are recognized to close on the bill, Representative.
I'll wave close on the bill as well. Thank you.
Having closed, Lexi, please call the roll on HB 337.
Representatives Borrero?
Yes.
Chambliss?
No.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Fisher? Hinson?
No.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
McClure?
Yes.
McCurdy?
No.
Rayner?
No.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Smith?
No.
Zika?
Yes.
Chair Rodriguez?
Yes.
11 yeas, 6 nays.
Show the bill reported favorably as a committee substitute.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members.
I'm sorry.
And at this time, I will hand the gavel over.
Mr. Chair. Question?
Question?
To you.
You're recognized, Representative.
Did I miss the question portion? I thought we just went to debate. I missed the questions because I did have questions on that bill.
Wait, we're you didn't speak. I mean, we.
I didn't hear the question. Okay.
We called it, so what do we?
No, I didn't hear. I heard debate.
If I could, Mr. Chair.
Representative, I'm sorry, but we called questions twice, both on the amendment and on the bill itself. The bill has passed since.
If I could, sir.
We're going to move the meeting forward. I mean, is it still on the same subject? Or
just want to clarify his question, if I could.
Representative, you're recognized.
Yes, sir. I think that there was just some, there was a little misunderstanding there on debate versus question as the procedures came down. So just for the record, there was some misunderstanding or miscommunication because I don't think the representative, I think he got debate and question. Does that make sense?
Noted, Representative. Thank you.
Yes.
Again, at this time, I'm going to pass the gavel over to my vice chair, Representative McClure, so that I can present House Bill 619.
Vice Chair Rodriguez, Chair Rodriguez, you're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 619 is titled the United States Produce Iron and Steel and Public Works Projects, also known as the Buy American Bill. Buy American provisions help strengthen the economy, create new jobs, and promote responsible environmental practices. Florida taxpayer-funded projects should give support for American companies and workers who continue to manufacture and keep jobs here at home. We as state taxpayers should not reward companies who move their operations, dollars, and jobs to foreign countries such as communist China. We have also included waivers similar to the federal guidelines to ensure cost effectiveness, amongst others. This bill has no fiscal impact. As stated in the staff analysis, Buy American laws create demand for domestically produced goods, helping to sustain and grow domestic manufacturing and the millions of jobs it supports. And that is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Members, are there questions on the bill? You're recognized.
We're on the steel bill. Thank you. So if I'm not mistaken, this bill is similar to a program that was run in Miami-Dade County?
You're recognized.
Yes.
And one of the questions that I have, because I love the idea, but one of the questions that I had was, how does the way that Miami-Dade County implemented and regulated the program, how will that translate to the rest of the state counties if this bill was passed?
You're recognized.
Thank you. So that will be implemented by the state, and similar to the way that it is in other, this is not the first state that's doing this. This is already the case in New York, Texas, amongst others, and it's also a federal law as well. We're just implementing it here in the state of Florida as well.
Thank you.
Questions, members? You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill. I just wanted to know, when you filed this bill, what did you contemplate? Did you contemplate possibly some of the financial issues that some companies may have with not being able to hire or use American products?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, of course that was contemplated, and so we have put safeguards. First of all, we're in a free market state. We want the market to determine that. But in addition to that, we've put safeguards in there to protect that the price and the cost of these projects do not exceed by more than 20%. So, and if so, then they're able to go elsewhere. So we've put safeguards in place in order to protect our taxpayer dollars.
Further questions? Seeing none, public testimony. Rich Templin. In opposition? Oh, I'm sorry, you're recognized. Good to see you.
Is that card marked opposition?
No, I read it wrong.
Oh, okay. Well, it could be old habit.
I got to tell you, I'm pretty excited for this.
Thank you, Chair.
You're recognized.
I just wanted to take 60 seconds to remind members of the committee that what you are supporting here with this legislation and policies like this is really a foundational industry here in this country for our economy. What we see when we do encourage these practices is a ripple effect that traverses many different markets. It traverses the labor market. It traverses the raw materials markets. It really is making a big difference. It may seem like it's, you know, not a big deal, but we in the labor community have seen firsthand how these policies impact, again, not only workers, but also our overall economy and the various markets that support it. So we really encourage you to support this bill today and maybe give it an extra boost as it comes out of this committee and goes into the process. And again, want to thank Chair Rodriguez for carrying this legislation.
Thank you,
Chair McClure.
Absolutely. Aaron Carmilla. Philip Suderman, Americans for Prosperity. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, members of the committee. I'm Philip Suderman, the Policy Director with Americans for Prosperity, Florida, here unfortunately to speak in opposition of HB 619. Government holds a responsibility as a steward of taxpayer dollars. With the power of taxation should come an understanding that the money garnered from hardworking taxpayers is put to use in a way that will benefit everyone, in a manner that provides quality while also assuring the least possible expense. Quite simply, government spending comes at a cost to the people. For every dollar spent, that dollar is taken away from the people. To needlessly increase government spending is to increase Floridians' cost. The mandates provided in this bill would do precisely that, driving up cost with no benefit to the Florida taxpayer. And in fact, we do know that costs will rise. There's even a provision in this bill noting that a carve-out at 20%. What this bill is in essence saying is that it's acceptable to bill taxpayers up to 19.9% more. So for example, if there is a $100,000 project, we are okay with giving out $19,999 additionally of taxpayer dollars. Every dollar the government spends comes from the pocket of a taxpayer. And in fact, inflation is at its highest in 40 years. This comes at a time when the taxpayer is hurting most. In fact, December prices from this last year are up 7% from over a year before. In sum, this is an anti-free market, anti-fiscally conservative bill that the fiscal comments on this bill even note, as such, the bill will have an indeterminate but potentially negative fiscal impact on state and local governments. Government has an obligation to all of us and should be accountable for how it spends our taxpayer dollars. Members of the committee, I respectfully ask for you to oppose this bill and stand up for fiscal responsibility in the pocketbooks of our residents. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Chris Keffer, waving in support. Alec Wilkoski, waving AFL-CIO, waving in support. Kyle Milwee, waving in support. Jim Now I'm really confused. Jim McGill, we've got proponent and opponent check, so. Trademark Metals is in support. Thank you, members. That is the end of public testimony. We are in debate. We are in debate. You are recognized. Representative Vincent.
Is that me? Yes. Thank you so much. And thank you, Representative Rodriguez, for bringing us this bill. And I want to say that usually I'm a fiscal conservative. But we are in a time of great need in infrastructure and other issues that we have, even, and I want to point out a few. In New Orleans after Katrina, China sent sheetrock. And that sheetrock ended up being laced with something that created a lot of respiratory issues, injury, and death. I know we had a collapse in Surfside. I don't know if that was U.S. iron or U.S. steel. I do know that if it had been, we may not be facing that collapse. I believe we need to make sure, even if it's 20% more, that our infrastructure is reliable and safe. And the only way we can do that is to produce it ourselves. I will be in favor of this bill, and I thank Rep. Rodriguez for bringing it to us. Thank you.
Further debate, members. Further debate. Seeing none. Chair Rodriguez, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just say again, this bill is about keeping our jobs, growing jobs here in Florida and in the United States. And what my colleague just stated is a great point. You know, it is proven that American-made iron and steel is safer, guys. It is just safer. You know, if somebody has concerns with anything, please feel free to reach out to my office and meet with me. Nobody has yet done so, but I'm happy to work through that. But I will clarify one point that was stated. In that carve-out for that 20% buffer that was brought up on both sides of the discussion, that is also implemented in the federal statute and has never been applied. It has never been applied. Our private partners has stayed within the regulation, has stayed within the law, and we have never had to apply that carve out, that buffer. So that concern that was expressed in my eyes does not even really apply, and it's proven that it has not applied. This is not something that we are doing brand new that nobody has ever done before. And with that, I close and I ask for your favorable support.
Having closed, Lexi, please call the roll on House Bill 619.
Representatives Borrero?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Fisher? Hinson?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
McClure?
Yes.
McCurdy?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Shove?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Chair Rodriguez?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
Show the bill reported favorably. I'm going to pass this back to you. Good luck, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Representative McClure. And with that, members, we will go on to PCB GOS 22-06. OGSR, Identity of a Witness to Murder by Representative Fetterhoff. Representative, you are recognized to explain the PCB.
Thank you, Chair. PCB GOS 2206 saves from repeal the public records exemptions for criminal intelligence information or criminal investigative information that reveals the personal identifying information of a witness to a murder for 2 years after the date on which the murder is observed by the witness, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Questions, members, are there questions on this bill? Questions? Seeing none, there are no amendments. Public testimony. Do we have public testimony? We do have one. Jess McCartney, Miami-Dade County, is a proponent. Thank you, Mr. McCarty. Any other public testimony? No? Debate, members. We're in debate. Any debate? Representative, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just want to say thank you to the bill sponsor for bringing this bill forward. This is an important public records exemption, And I just want to say, because in this committee we do deal with a number of public records exemptions, that this bill, the way that this language is crafted in the exemption, is a good example of how public records exemptions can be narrowly drawn as required by the Florida Constitution in a way that is not overly broad and does not violate the right of Floridians to know. So just want to say thank you, Representative Fetterhoff, and I encourage members of the committee to vote for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. We are in debate. Any other members in debate? Anybody else in debate? Hearing none, Representative, you are recognized to close on the PCB.
Wave closed, Chair.
Thank you. Lexi, please call the roll on PCB GOS 22-06.
Representatives Barrero?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Fisher? Hinson?
Yes.
Killebrew? McClure?
Yes.
McCurdy?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Shove?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Zika? Yes. Chair Rodriguez?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
Shall the PCB reported favorably. And we're going to move on to PCB GOS 22-08, OGSR, Technology System, State University or a Florida College System Institution, by Representative Fetterhoff. Representative, you are recognized to explain the PCB.
Thank you, Chair. This bill saves from repeal the public records exemption for certain information held by a state university or Florida College System institution related to information technology security or potential breaches of security, as well as information technology security program risk assessments, evaluations, and audits held by the university or institution. The bill also saves from repeal a public meeting exemption for portions of public meetings where such information technology security matters are discussed. And that's the bill, Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, we are in questions. Questions on the PCB. Seeing none, there are no amendments. There is a question. Okay. Representative Smith, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry for the delay there. Representative Fetterhoff, I'm curious about how this public records exemption has been used. Is it one that universities are often citing to deny requests for public records, or do you know of incidents where it's been used?
So I'm not sure of exact incidents, but essentially what it's coming down to is it's a matter of they don't want someone out in the public to get a hold of information of how they were breached, because that could open the door to them being breached even more. If they show the weaknesses to their system that they're trying to fix, they don't want individuals out in the public being able to get a hold of that information and basically taking advantage of it.
You're recognized for a follow-up question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the response, Representative Fetterhoff. I share that concern because data and IT security is a really critical issue for us and for our state universities, certainly. My question is about whether or not this exemption is written in a way that would prevent the public from being able to at least find out about incidences and about whether or not there was a robust response from the university, short of asking for specific data and IT details that I think would put them at risk. I'm more curious about the public's right to still know about how a university or if a university responded to a data breach appropriately so that those universities can also be held to account for how they're responding to this.
Representative Smith, is there a question in that?
If I could restate, Mr. Chair, I apologize. Just to restate, yes, the question being, would members of the public still be able to find out that data breaches occurred and whether or not the university did respond and how they responded, even if we don't get specific, detailed, and granular information that goes into the weeds about our systems?
Rep. Fetterhoff, you're recognized for a response.
Thank you, Chair. So basically, we'll get back to you with better details on that, of course. But I'm, you know, as my understanding of this is that it's mainly dealing with the specifics of how they were breached. It's not a matter of if it's hacked and if you're a student at the university and your information is hacked, you are given that information. So basically, we're just trying to make sure that the information as far as how it was hacked is not out there. So it's not a matter of if there's a breach, likely they'll make sure that whoever was breached information will be given out. But we'll get back to you on that. Good.
Thank you. We are on questions. Members, any other questions? Seeing none, and they're having no amendments, we are on public testimony. Do we have public testimony? Seeing none, members, we are now in debate. Debate on the bill. Representative Smith, you're recognized on debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you again, Representative Fetterhoff. I'm going to support the bill, and I want to work with you just on some of the questions and concerns that I have that are ongoing. Just to be really specific, my concern is I want to make sure that by allowing this records exemption, that we are not inadvertently not requiring that at least the release of reports after a confirmed security incident in a redacted way, because the release of a redacted report, I think, would at least protect the security of the university system while also not doing it in a way that would exempt the university from scrutiny about how they responded or did not respond. So I'm going to vote for the bill now, but I do have those general concerns, and I look forward to working with you and your office to work on that. So thank you, Representative Fetterhoff.
Thank you, Rep. Members, any additional debate on the bill? Any additional debate? Seeing none, Representative Fetterhoff, you're recognized to close on the PCB.
Thank you, and I would just say we will definitely get back to you on that and make sure that you feel comfortable voting on this bill as it moves forward. So thank you so much, and that's my close.
Having closed, Lexi, please call the roll on PCB GOS 22-08.
Representatives Barrero?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Fisher? Hinson?
Yes.
Killebrew? McClure?
Yes.
McCurdy?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Chair Rodriguez?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
Members show the PCB reported favorably. Congratulations. We are now on PCB GOS 22-07, OGSR, Public and Professional Guardians by Rep. Rizzo. Representative, you are recognized to explain the PCB.
Thank you, Chairman. PCB GOS 22-07, entitled OGSR, Public and Professional Guardians. This bill saves from repeal the public records exemption for records on information held by the Office of Public and Professional Guardians within the Department of Elder Affairs in connection with a formal administrative complaint. Exempt information includes the personal identifying information of a ward and of the person filing a complaint, all personal health and financial records of a ward, and all photographs and video recordings associated with a complaint. And that is the bill, sir.
Thank you, Representative. I believe we have questions on the bill. Representative Smith, you're recognized for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Rizzo, for bringing the bill forward. Just like the previous bill, I understand that we're now allowing the existing public records exemption to be made permanent. Obviously, a lot has been exposed about guardianship in Florida since 5 years ago when we initially enacted this public records exemption. My first question is, does the exemption currently include the public's right to access information about a complaint against a guardian that has to do with information about the guardian themselves? I understand the ward's personal information, their healthcare information is exempt here. Something I think we all agree should continue. But what about information about the guardian?
Representative, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative, for the question. I will have to get back to you for the specific, to answer that specifically, but currently, as I understand it, all the information regarding the investigation would be released, including everyone that's named in the investigation, once that investigation has concluded, but with all of the information that we talked about the ward and the person filing the complaint being redacted. So that, I know, is redacted in the final release of the information, but specifically, I will get back with you and answer that.
Recognized for a follow-up, Rep. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the response. I do probably have a couple of questions, and then I won't take up a lot of space on this bill, so just want to give the Chair a heads up. Thank you for your commitment to follow up. I just have those general concerns that we might not get information about the Guardian. Specifically, my question, and the one thing I just also wanted to make sure that I asked Chair Rizzo or that I flagged for follow-up is that many of the investigations against guardians last for several years. So even in the case that details around the complaint are released afterwards, I just have a concern there just based on the longevity of some of these complaints that these could potentially be ongoing for a long time if we wouldn't access them. So this exempts from public records videos and pictures in a complaint, but it's not clear in the language whether it's videos and photographs of the ward that are exempt from public record or videos and pictures of perhaps the guardian, maybe, for example, poor conditions that the guardian is overseeing that they're not taking action on. How does the exemption apply, as far as you are aware, on the videos and photographs?
Recognized for a response.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you again, Representative. I will get specifics about that question for you. Specifically, I know that in the analysis, we do have information about the ward and the complainant, but not specifically about the Guardian with respect to that question, so I will get those specifics back to you.
Mm-hmm. Representative Smith, questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I appreciate the indulgence, and I appreciate you, Representative Rizzo. One of the concerns that I have that I'm curious if you have a response to is, even if we take important measures to not have a records exemption that is overly broad, sometimes in practice, the agencies that are impacted by the records exemption are overly broad in their interpretation. So my question is, do we know if the Department of Elder Affairs has used this existing records exemption statute to not release any details around complaints about a guardian currently?
Recognized for a response.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you once again for the question. Currently, and I don't know specifically if we're talking about the information be released about the guardian, but currently we have seen that there have been 470 complaints about public and professional guardians between the years 2017 and 2020, and 122 public records requests regarding these complaints. I don't know if that may answer your question a little bit, but that's the data that we have.
We're good. Members, we are in questions. Any other questions? Representative, you're recognized.
Thank you, questions. Mr. Chair. And I hope I can phrase it in the form of a question, but I have so many complaints in my office about guardianship. My question, I think, will be, if we remove identifying information, will an investigation be able to proceed with sufficient evidence?
Representative Rizzo, you're recognized for an answer.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you, Representative, for the question. the investigation itself does not preclude any information. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that the investigation would proceed as diligently as possible, given that all information is open to those investigators. What we're speaking about would be to the public during the investigation.
So to be clear, anybody investigating the problem, including the ward or a member of the ward's family, would be able to secure this information.
Representative Brizzle, please.
Thank you, Chair. Representative, I believe that during the investigation, only those persons that are identified as investigators are privy to that information, but I will get the specific answer to your question for you.
Can I just tell you why it's important? So maybe if it's not, you'll add it. It's important because the family of the ward is oftentimes not the guardian. And it's the family that wants to file these complaints and investigation, and they need access to this information. So if it's not there, I urge you to include it.
Thank you, Rep. Henson. Members, questions? Additional questions? Seeing none, having no amendments filed, we are in public testimony. No public testimonies. Members, we are in debate. Rep. Henson, you are recognized in debate.
Again, I have concerns about eliminating information that could assist a family member from filing an investigation and indeed relieving their family member of a renegade guardian. I can't think of a better way to put it. Therefore, I believe this information needs to be made available to immediate family members of the ward. I will not be supporting this until I know more. Thank you.
In debate, Representative Smith, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I just want to say thank you to Representative Rizzo. I really would like to try to work on this records exemption. I want to restate what I mentioned in my questions, which is that this public records exemption was enacted 5 years ago. Now, 5 years ago, the exemption was not enacted before the many problems that were happening within Florida guardianship. It happened before many folks in the public were aware of the very, very troubled guardianship program and system and laws that we have. 5 years later, after the records exemption has been enacted, I do have a lot of concerns about whether the original statute was properly, whether the original records exemption was properly written to not be overly broad. I also have questions about the fact that we do have a records exemption in this statute that applies to the Department of Elder Affairs. That's 744.2111. But that we also have a separate confidentiality statute, 744.2104, which exempts and makes confidential records about guardianship through the Office of Public and Professional Guardians. So I'm curious if, as the bill moves along, we can take a look at possibly merging the records exemption from both statutes, because they're dealing with the same thing and the same issue, even if they're dealing with DEA versus OPPG. Now, generally, I think it's important for us to understand that there is tremendous interest in guardianship complaints in the state of Florida, rightfully so. Rep. Rizzo, you mentioned, and it came from the staff analysis, that while between 2017 and 2020, The department received 470 complaints about guardians. There were 122 public records requests against these complaints. I'm curious as to how those records requests were handled, because the spirit of the recommendations from the Guardianship Task Force, the spirit of those recommendations spoke to a need for more transparency in guardianship and more accountability. And my concern here is that we have to be really, really careful about how this exemption is crafted to make sure that it's not crafted in a way that keeps the problems with guardianship in Florida in the dark. I am a bit conflicted on whether to vote yes or no, only because my experience in this process is my no vote usually gets ignored and changes are not made. Now, my friend Representative Hinson has just pledged that she's voting no. I will vote yes, not because I love this, but because, Representative Rizzo, I would like the opportunity to work with you on some of these concerns. And we've worked together on things before. So let's take a look at this to see if we can adjust it, because I know there's a lot of people watching who are very concerned about the records exemption with guardianship that I think would appreciate us putting a bit more scrutiny on this bill. So thank you, and I look forward to working with you on that.
Thank you, Rep. Smith. In debate, Ranking Member Chambliss, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Rizzo, I would love to highlight the fact that what you're noticing is this, again, serious interest in the welfare of our seniors, right? You know, imagining our parents, knowing scenarios of other seniors where the guardianship issue has come up and come to light, and a serious will and desire to slow down while we have this in our hand and just make sure that we get it right. I think that's the spirit of the questions and the debate that you just heard, and I agree. And I'm sure that it's reasonable to think that while we're looking at the well-being of our seniors and with respect to them, that we are making sure that we're giving every protection that we can to them and allowing the necessary transparency to identify bad actors when they need to be identified. And so for that, I will join Ms. Hinson, but I definitely will be a part of hopefully the conversation that comes on working on this and identifying some of those concerns in a more concrete manner. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ranking Member. Members, debate. Anyone else in debate? Seeing no further debate, Rep. Rizzo, you're recognized to close on the PCB.
Thank you very much, Chair. Representative Smith, Representative Hinson, Representative Chambliss, and any other representative on this committee that has concerns. Let me just say that it looks like I adopted another cause, and I will be working diligently, and I give you my word that I will make sure that we will come out of this at the end with something that you feel extremely confident in and comfortable in. And again, I give you my word. And thank you, Representative Smith, for those words. And I would hope that all of you look on this favorably, as if it continues to move, you could always change your vote if I end up being someone that does not meet the letter of the word that I just gave you. Thank you very much. And with that, I close, sir.
Having closed, Lexi, please call the roll on PCB GOS 22-07.
Representatives Barrero?
Yes.
Chambliss?
No.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Fisher? Hinson?
No.
Killebrew? McClure?
Yes.
McCurdy?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Zika? Yes. Chair Rodriguez?
Yes.
15 yeas, 2 nays.
Shall the PCB be reported favorably? Members, this concludes our committee agenda for the day. Once we adjourn, please remember to exit promptly so the sergeant staff can prepare the room. Seeing no further business before the committee, Representative Rayner moves we rise. Without objection, this meeting is adjourned.